Lift your hands and let's worship him. Can we be upstanding if you can? Apart from our guest minister, of course. Just lift your hands and let's appreciate him. Father, we honor you. Lord, we adore you. We magnify you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. We worship you in Jesus' precious name. Please sit, sir. Please, you can sit, sir. One of the greatest privileges, one of the greatest favors God can do for anybody is when he brings you into contact with the right people. The people that God brings you into contact with, and the light he gives you the ability to see, those two things, they change your life forever. Blessed be the day that Samuel was brought to encounter Saul. Blessed be the day that Samuel encountered David. Jesus was God, but God brought him into contact with the ministry of John the Baptist, and that did something. I appreciate God for the lineage of faith, the lineage that God brought our ministry into contact, the lineage of the patriarchs. Speak about God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo, our spiritual father, Pastor Iye Adeboye, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, and that line. You look at it and you see a particular thread, longevity of impact, integrity of living. Everything is there. The person who is here tonight is one person in that lineage, that line. And whenever you see a man who is in ministry and is there till his 80s, whatever he has to say, listen to him. He was here for the first time in the Area 1 church, ministered to us powerfully and impactfully. After that, he's invited me a couple of times to his mega conference, the International Faith Conference, and the theme he gave one year was fourth dimensional living. And the message I preached in that place went all over the world. And we are happy to have him today. During the dedication of the Glory Dome, he was not here in person, but he sent a high power delegation. Delores Thomas was there, and a couple of others, to be present here in person on his behalf to witness the dedication of the dome, and we feel highly honored to have him in our midst. You are going to have an electronic introduction quickly, and once that happens, he will be the next person you will hear. Give the Lord the praise.
From the United States of America comes a seasoned voice of faith, a transformational leader, and an apostle of kingdom prosperity and purpose. He is a man of deep revelation, visionary insight, and supernatural understanding of the Word of God.
You're going to have Jesus in you operate, and he's in you right now, and God, after this conference, is going to promote some of you.
Founder and pastor of Living Word Christian Center, Illinois, and president of Bill Winston Ministries, he has impacted lives across continents through the teaching of faith, leadership, and excellence in the marketplace.
I'm saying we need to occupy the top of the mountain. We need to have people in the justice seat. We need to, I'm talking about, uncompromising Christians.
He is a former fighter pilot turned kingdom general, taking territories for Christ by the word and by the spirit. Through his prolific ministry, global conferences, and media outreach, he continues to raise believers who reign in life through Christ Jesus. Today, we are honored and delighted to have God's servant in our midst, a voice for this generation, and a carrier of divine grace.
Right now, don't you shrink down one bit. It's more than one way to solve that problem of your cousin. Don't you let that affect your ascent, because whoever is at the top of the mountain controls the mountain.
Ladies and gentlemen, with Jesus' joy, please make welcome Dr. Bill Winston to the International Ministers Flaming Fire Conference. Dr. Paul and Dr. Mrs. Becky Enenche and Dunamis Worldwide welcome you to the Glory Dome.
Go on ahead and give the Lord a praise, people. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Thank you. Thank you. We give God. We give God all the praise. Give him all the praise. Give him all the praise. I'm glad to be here. I think my coming here, I'll wait till they're trying to adjust the mic. God is teaching me patience and trying to adjust the mic here. They thought I was going to use another mic, but I asked them, could I use this one? I want to say before you sit down, I am honored to be here. The apostle and first lady, I tell you, I came last time I was here, I ministered here. All of this was not here. We were operating out of a much smaller place. I told him, no one can do this but God. God did this. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the word that you've given me for this church. Thank you for the anointing that's on me to minister. And Lord, I decree that this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force, and that signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow the word preached. We thank you for it, and in advance we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Can you shout amen? Amen. Take your seats, take your seats, take your seats, please. I bid you greetings from Chicago, where God lives, and he lives here too. Thank you very much for having me, Pastor and First Lady, and all of those who helped to make our visit comfortable. We thank you so much. I have some ministers that came with me, some people. Minister Derek Collins, you could stand up if you will. And Patrice Baker, you could stand up if you will, Patrice. Also, I have Elise, her daughter, if you would stand up if you will. Amen. She leads our praise and worship. And also, I have a person who's been with me over 25 years, and she has helped me establish the business schools. We call them Joseph Business Schools, and in five continents of the world. She got her degree from Harvard, and then she went and got a Ph.D. degree, and then she came and got the degree from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dolores Thomas, Dr. Thomas, can you come up and say just one word, please? Thank you. Very quickly, a microphone, please. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. It's such a pleasure to be here with all of you. It's so wonderful to see the NHA family. I feel like I'm part of their family in Jesus' name. I'm so excited for Dr. Winston to be here to minister the word to many of you ministers. And the one thing I could say is that for 25 years, he's not only been a teacher of the word, but has been a doer of the word. So tonight we're believing God for a supernatural transformation that will change your life like never before. So if you're expecting to take mountains and to have dominion in your sphere of influence, know that the word you'll receive tonight will be like none other. He is living the word that he preaches, and we thank God for his leadership that has taken us in 5 continents, all over the world, and has helped entrepreneurs to create million-dollar businesses for the kingdom of God. And it's all through the anointing that's on Dr. Winston's life. So it's a pleasure to be here, and God bless you.
All right, I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I just want to act like I'm at home. Is that okay? I said, is that okay?
Yes.
Amen. All right. The, you know, I kind of feel at home anyway here. Every time I come to Africa, I feel like I have some brothers and sisters here somewhere. Amen. If I have some brothers and sisters, let me hear your voice. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to teach and on a subject that I think is much needed today. It's called living from the inside out. Living from the inside out. I'm just right now just getting over a little accident I had. I was wrestling with the devil, and I won. Amen. And so I'm just getting over that. But living from the inside out. Now, when we talk about out, inside out, we're talking about the spirit man. But living from that spirit man. I told Dr. Nishi, I said, listen, you cannot build a place like this in the flesh. You have got to build it by the spirit. Your spirit has to build this. And I think the largest churches in the world, if I'm right, are in Africa, if I'm right about that. But you cannot do it. You can't manage it. You cannot have programs. You cannot, Moses had to get the anointing that he had on 70 others to help with that. And I'm just saying the anointing was on he and the first lady to dream the dream. And then something happened. God sent people, workers, whatever, and they built this out. So I am just amazed, not at what he's doing, but what God has done through him. Give him and the first lady a hand clap. Give them a standing ovation. Let's stand up and give them a standing ovation for what God has done through them. Amen. All right, you may take your seats. Prayer. Let me say something about that first. Now, I want to get a reader up here with me who can read scriptures as I tell them. Somebody, just raise your hand. Come on up. A reader. Okay. Somebody, quickly. All right. Okay. All right. And here, you have to have something that you can read, either iPad, cell phone, something. Okay. All right. Okay. Don't stand too close. Okay. John the Baptist, I want you to look at this. Look at Matthew and chapter 3 and verse 5. This is John the Baptist now. Okay? Ready? Read.
Then went out in Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan.
Okay. Read it again. I was trying to get the sound here.
Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan.
Okay, keep going. 3 and 5. People came out. Are you reading from the King James?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
read one more time and go to verse 6. Let's go. Yes.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan.
Okay. People were coming out from all over. From Jerusalem, Judea. They were coming out. They were coming out with no social media. None. They didn't have it. They were coming out from everywhere to be baptized of John. How did they get there? No social media. No flyers. But they came out. Now look at Luke. Luke chapter 11 verse 1. And look what the disciples said to Jesus. Now this shows the effectiveness of prayer. Alright. Luke 11 verse 1.
And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.
Now they saw something. They saw something. They saw, they heard of the effectiveness of John's prayer. And they kind of saw the same thing with Jesus. Because what happened, Jesus went to a village and people did not come out. And he had been to other villages and people came out by the crowds. But nobody came out. And the disciples said something, Lord, call fire down on them and burn them up. He said, wait a minute. You don't know what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to take lives. He came to build lives. He came to help mankind. And so what happened is that they said, well, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. I'd like to invite you to give some thought to what I'm about to say. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. This is not my text. God is leading me to say this. Hebrews chapter 1, 13 and 14. Go.
But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
These angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's you. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, please. Ready?
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed.
How shall we what?
How shall we escape?
How shall we what?
If we neglect so great salvation.
Listen. Some of us are not using our angels. Angels can help build your church.
Yes, sir.
Why? They can bring people in. Isaiah and chapter 43,
yes, sir,
and verse 6. Isaiah 43. This is not my message. This is for somebody here. Isaiah 43 and verse 6.
I will say to the north, give up.
Give up.
And to the south, keep not back.
Keep not back.
Bring my sons from far.
God will bring angels to get your members.
Amen. Amen. And my daughters from the ends of the earth.
God will do that for you.
Amen.
How should we escape if we neglect them? Don't neglect your angels. I came here to tell you.
Yes,
now, angels will not only bring people, but they'll bring money.
Yes, sir.
Saints, we're in the last days. We're in the last. God's calling for you to use all of your resources. And angels are part of your resource. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 22, I think that's the scripture. Look at that. 12:22. Okay. 11:22.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to in an innumerable company of angels.
How many angels? Innumerable. They're looking for something to do. You got so many angels, you can't count them. They're waiting. When are we going to use them? Sometimes we're going through this financial drought. Why? We don't need to do that. We've got to grow up and become sons. This is very important. This is what God is telling me to tell His people now. If we look at the scripture, He's saying the whole earth waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hey, are you an angel?
Yes, sir. Oh.
Okay, put it to the side and then bring it this. Okay, turn. Okay. All right. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, should I turn this one off? Leave it on. Leave it on, okay. All right. Can everybody hear me? Let me try it this way. You're going to be a millionaire tomorrow. I thought that would get you. I was at Richie one time at Bishop David Oyedepo's church. And it came out of my mouth. I didn't say it. I know I didn't say it. The Holy Ghost spoke through me. He said, you can be a millionaire in a month. Boy, that woke him up, didn't it? Okay, but what am I saying? Angels, resources, favor. You should be confessing it every day. I confess it all the time. God, I thank you for your favor, bringing supernatural increase, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules changed, and battle. I do not have to fight. I'm saying that this I Okay. Don't be concerned about the sound. We'll get it right. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good. Does it sound good? All right. But innumerable coming. How should we escape if we neglect them? I'm saying now, listen. Don't let social media get in on your work of the kingdom of God. I mean, when I say it, don't let it take over your mind. Understand, God's got a better way than social media. He's got a better way for us. And I'm not saying, you know, don't neglect some of the tools that you can do naturally, but this particular building and all that he's done here, that can't be done naturally. It can't. So it has to be done supernaturally. So from now on, say this with me.
I am living
from the inside out from this day forward. I am living the supernatural life in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what you're going to do. You don't have any money problems. You don't. You just think you do, but you don't. I told them at our church, I said, let's get all debts canceled. And they said, how are we going to do that? I said, all right, put your debts on the kitchen table. If you don't have a kitchen, just put them on the table. And then step back off of it and point at it and say this, bills, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. Now, look at Mark chapter 11 and verse 14. Now, this is not my message. I didn't come to bring this. All right? Let's go. Ready? Read.
And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it.
He said to the tree. He was speaking to a tree. Now, look at Luke chapter 4. And look at verse 38 and 39. This is not my message. I'm speaking out of the Spirit.
That's right.
He's telling me, I came from America to bring you a word from the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Now read that.
And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them.
She had a fever. This was written by Luke. Luke was a physician. He can describe things accurately in the body. He said she had a great fever. Then he said Jesus spoke to the fever, rebuked it, and immediately the fever left. Fevers can hear. Blood pressure can hear. Diabetes can hear. Do you hear what I'm saying?
What you going?
Okay. Point at your bills. That's how you are made. You are made that. Look at 14, John 14 and verse 10. John 14 and verse 10. Read 10 and then read 12.
Okay? Ready? Okay. All right?
Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?
The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
What Jesus did, you can do. Look at Matthew 21:21. This is not my message. Matthew 21:21. Ready? Read.
Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done.
Now, Jesus is saying, what I did, you can do. What I did, you can do. What I did, you can do. Now, I'm telling you, if you have any debts, put them on the table. Stand off of them about 6 or 10 feet. Point at them and say this. Bills, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. In the name of Jesus, I command you, be paid off. Disappear. Dematerialize, go away. And then give it a moment, about a few days, and give your faith a chance to work. And these bills will be paid off. Give your angels something to do. That they're sitting there folding their hands because the God's people are not giving him anything to do. They are asking each other, do you have something to do? No, I don't. Do you have something to do? No, but innumerable. Look, watch David. Watch him use his angels. I did not come to preach this. Watch it. You better take it down because it's got to be for you. Look what David did. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's start reading at verse 45. 17:45.
Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel,
whom thou hast defied. Wait, my mic, turn it back on now. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the armies of Israel. That host is the Hebrew word for angels. Angels were with David to fight the battles. David not only said, I'm going to kill you and cut your head off, but let me show you what else I'm going to do. Move aside. I'm going to feed your whole army to the birds of the air, that all Israel will know that what? That there is a God in Israel. All God wants is the glory. That's all he wants. and he'll not share the glory. He'll do absolutely anything for you if you give him the glory. David was a man after God's own heart. And I'm telling you, he gave God glory. Now I'm saying with you right now, coming in this place, I see you, but I also see angels. Because you've got at least one assigned to you when you got born again. And they're packed in here right now. Because they like to hear me preach. I'm telling you. So these angels are here to help you win the battle. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?
Keep going.
And when the Sabbath, yes, and he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
All right. He said, They that be with us are more than they that be with them. I don't care what battle you get in. They that be with you are going to be more than they would be with them. So, I'm letting you know, angels want something to do. Give them something to do by speaking words of faith. You release faith and you release angels. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, He always causes me to triumph. Why? Because you never lose a battle. You never lose a battle. And each time you lose, you win the battle, you get promoted. So when he said, I'm going to make your name great, he was talking about you. He was talking about the seed of Abraham. That he was going to make our name great. How? You participate in that. You participate. See, you have to face the giant. He defeats the giant. I don't care whether it's your bills. I don't care whether it's sickness, disease, whatever it is. Face it, because you are not alone. You have somebody with you. That's just like me sitting here and I've got an invisible dog. And you'll see me saying, sit down, don't stand up, sit down. And you say, wonder what is he doing? Let them talk. Angels are with you. Act like it. Get bold. Speak to those bills. Give the angels something to do. All of this I've done. For us to get our first shopping mall, I had to speak to the invisible. Now it's not you. You're speaking by faith. And it's coming out of your inner man. But you are speaking it. When we first got to Chicago, look at this little place we had. And this is how we started. And that's it. I mean, that's what we had. It held about 25 people. And I started speaking. When I started speaking, we start growing. in the name of Jesus. And so eventually, we ended up in this, which is a shopping mall. One of them, the first one. I'm saying, use your mouth. You are made like God. Say amen. Stop trying to toil and get things done. Your days of toiling are over. Now, you have got to not be concerned about what other people think. Because after you speak to those bills, if they do come in the house, still pay them off. Be responsible. But pretty soon, they're not coming in your house. They're going to write you a letter and say, thank you so much for your business. Your account is closed because you've paid all the that was open on your account. And you know you didn't do it. But in the name of Jesus, this is what's going to happen in your life. From this day, your life is going to be lived supernaturally. When I was a young boy, I thought I was Superman. I think they have a picture. And I used to watch Superman on the television. I said, oh, I want to be like Superman. So Kellogg's Corn Flakes came out with some kind of a promotion that they had, that if you send in a box top and 50 cents, they'll send you a shirt. That's all I needed. I sent in that box top, 50 cents, and my Superman shirt came, and I put it on. I felt stronger. Now you put on Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I felt so strong, and so pretty soon, I ordered another one and another one, and I had one for every day. So when the basketball team formed, you got that?
Yes, sir.
When the basketball team formed, I didn't wear a uniform. I wore my Superman shirt. Now, I want you to hear something. You get in this word, and you get in there right, and it'll do something to transform your thinking.
Yes,
and the next thing you know, you'll be ordering a Superman shirt. I think you follow what I'm saying. Now, what I'm saying is this. Read Romans chapter 8 and verse 19 and verse 22. Romans 8:19-22.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
The whole world is waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth is waiting for you. It's waiting for you. Now, why is it waiting for you? Because you're gonna be a son and not a slave. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Galatians 4, 1, look what it says.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
He differs nothing. Put it up there in the Amplified. AMPC, please. Could you switch it? Thank you.
The Amplified. Now, what I mean when I talk about children and their guidance is this. As long as the heir is a child, it does not differ at all from his faith, even though he is the future owner and master of all the estate.
We've got to grow up, saints.
Yes, sir.
We've got to grow up. If you don't grow up, you're a baby. If you come here and have to hear it over and over and over and over and never really develop, you're a baby. A baby can't stop a storm. A baby can't raise the dead. A baby that you've got to become sons. Say, I am a son. A son of God. In the name of Jesus. That's what you are. And as I go down to different churches, I don't care how big they are, it doesn't make any difference. If the people of God were acting like sons, that means acting like Jesus. We can put Bibles back in schools.
Yes, sir.
There'd be no more poor, no sickness. We'd wipe it out of the church. Now, I'm just saying that because we want to grow up. And I don't know how much grown up you've had, but God wants us to show proof of our adulthood.
Lord have mercy.
Now, let me get to my message. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Did you understand what I just said?
Yes, sir.
This is proof that you can speak and something happened. I got to show you this. Look at this. Look at James chapter 3 and start at verse 2 in the NIV translation. All right?
We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check.
Keep going.
When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take sheep as example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go.
Okay, let me show you this. I have here a wheel that I am going to turn a ship. Here it is. Now this turns the ship. In the car, I have something called a steering wheel. And this is a steering wheel from a, what kind of a car?
BMW.
I turn it, and what happens to the car?
It turns.
This is small. Car is big. Your tongue is small. Turn it. Put pressure on it. You can be working a new job that's going to pay you good money and so forth, but you can take your tongue and say things like, I can't ever make any money. I'm telling you, every time these bills come in and so forth, that's why I can't ever get ahead. You're going to have what you say. Turn it. Put pressure on it and say, in the name of Jesus. I am debt free. I thank you, Lord, that my money is building and I have $100,000 in the bank and I have all my debts paid and I'm going to be a millionaire in a month. So what am I saying? It's got a lot. This is maturity. If you do this, you're able to, the whole body, you can train the whole body. It's the thing that decides whether you're mature or not. So that's enough of that. Do you have that?
Yes, sir.
Say yes.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Oh, have mercy. I see now, when I talk to you, I got to talk to you by faith. Because, you know, the place is so big that you can't single anybody out and say, "Now, you didn't hear what I said." But I'm going to take it by faith. Let me show you scripture. Pastor, I'm just taking my time. Okay. Look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Luke 22:31. Go.
And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren."
Now, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know, and I know, you don't sift wheat. You sift flour. So, what is he saying to Simon? He is saying, you think you got it all together. But Satan knows some parts you don't have yet. Now, he's trying to take advantage of you. But, do this. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. He didn't say, if you are converted. He said, when? Because when Jesus puts his faith on it, his word won't return void.
Yes, sir.
So, I'm preaching by faith. All right, let me start something. I'm not going to take long, Pastor. If you look at the scriptures, Satan has built the system to remind you that you are not in control. That's it. That's when you see a tornado, a hurricane, or something comes in Abuja and so forth, how people get, you know, whatever you get, if something comes in like that, or whatever things is of the curse comes in. Notice how we react on it. Satan is trying to make sure people are reminded that they're not in control. You even heard it. You know, you better get right with God because you never know when you're going. You never know how long your life is going to be. God can just snatch you up anytime. See, all of that is to tell you that you have no control. When the truth is, you have all control.
Yes, sir.
The Word of God is the all-controlling factor. Write it down. The Word of God is the all-controlling factor. That's why Satan doesn't want the Word in colleges and in school, elementary school. No. He doesn't even want it in your house. Because it can control everything he can do. They said to Jesus, they said, "Don't you know," this is John chapter 10, "that you know, we can take your life?" He said, No. "No man takes my life. I have to lay it down." See, if Jesus Lord have mercy. All controlling factor, my wife. When we're at Oral Roberts University in Bible school, what happened? As I was going to class, she needed employment. And so every place she went, they told her that the economy is down right now and no one is really getting hired. People are getting laid off. And she said, oh my goodness. And she came home. Well, we opened the Bible and saw where my God shall supply all your need. And several other verses that promised us that the devil is not in control. So what did we do? We began to put the scriptures down. She put the scriptures in the house. Refrigerator, redeemed from the curse. Toilet stool, my God shall supply all your need. Everywhere. So what happened? We start confessing those. Then one day the Lord spoke to me. He said, tell your wife to write down on a little card exactly the way she wanted her job to be, where she wanted it, how she wanted it, and all of that. Now, listen, Satan is trying to remind you that you are not in control. So, she did that. Then we start confessing that. And then a friend of mine came over to the house. Now, I'm still in full-time Bible school. And he said, hey, Bill. She was on the front. She on the front lawn. She said, hey, Veronica, is Bill in? She said, yeah, he's in the house. She said, he said, oh, thank you. He started in the house and then he turned back and said this. You got your job yet? What did she say? What did she say?
Yes.
She said, yes. Because whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you what? Receive them and you shall have them. So, she believes she's received it. Now, what did the card say? It said this. Her job was in computers. Her job was 10 minutes from the house. Her job paid her this much. Notice, the devil's trying to tell you you're not in control. But she is telling the system what her job looks like. And then she got down to the last one, and she said she wanted a Buick with the job, a new car with the job. Now, a lot of people won't do that because they don't think they deserve that. Or they don't think God either can do that or whatever. But she put it all down. So one day I came home from class and she was cooking. And I said, it smells good in here. She said, I said, what do you got? She said, well, we have some stew or whatever it was. And I said, oh, we're going to eat good today. She said, no, this is not going to be for us. This is for Aaron and them down the street. They have fallen on some hard times. I said, Aaron and them, I need that food myself. But she was sowing a sacrifice seed. She sowed that seed. 4 days later, I got a phone call. The man said, is Veronica there? I said, yes, she is. May I speak with her, please? I said, yes, please. I spoke with her. Veronica said, okay, all right, yeah, yes, I will, all right. I said, who was that? She said, it was the guy who said he just got hired at the employment company. And what he saw in the drawer was a job description like the one he saw in my, when I had gone by there, I saw this invitation in this, that he saw my application, and he saw this fits my application. So what did he do? He called me. I said, well, go by there and check and see what the job is. Go by there and see what we got. She went by there. The man they hired.
Yes, sir.
She went by to interview for the job and came back home. I said, how did we do? She said, let's get the card. Now listen, you can create your own world. You can create your own. I'm telling you, when you say he said, sons of God, powerful. So what did she do? I said, what did we do? How did we do? She looked at the card. She said, it's in computers. What we put down, check. And 10 minutes from the house, what we looked at, check. And in this job, it was paying the exact amount of money, except it was $5,000 more, and that came from me preaching and praying in the Spirit. And then next, I said, how about a car? She said, they said, go pick up a new Buick. Now, only thing I'm telling you, the enemy has tried to convince you that you are not in control. That's a lie. The Word of God is the all-controlling factor. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, next thing.
Revelation
knowledge is a first step to possessing your inheritance. Revelation. Let me tell you what happened to me. Somebody from Africa came over to the U.S. to our church. And in the middle of his sermon, he said this, Pastor Winston, your airplane is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and he went back preaching. I say, Ecclesiastes chapter 10? I got the Bible, looked at it, I didn't see it. I looked at it again, I didn't see it. I read the whole chapter again, and I didn't see it. And then on the fourth time, here's what it said in verse 20. Put it up there, please. A bird of the air. Read that scripture for me.
Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Curse not the king, nor not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which had wings shall tell the matter.
A bird of the air. Can I hold this? Yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to go to Abuja Airport and see my jet that we came over here in. I got the jet out of the Bible. Your new house is in the Bible. Whatever you need is in the Bible. And it's debt free. My mall is debt free. Everything we have is debt free. Why? Because Jesus paid for it. In Colossians chapter 2:15, it says he paid the price. Now, what do you need? You need a man? Okay, don't answer it. In Jesus' name. I'm talking about a husband. everything's in there. This is your inheritance. Say it's mine. And I take it by faith in Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a praise for that. Take your seats. Now, I'm telling you this. All right, let's look at the next thing. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. Matthew 11, 12. Ready? Read.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force.
The violent take it by force. Woo! Woo! You're going to take it. You are going to take whatever belongs to you. You're going to take it. Over here, you're going to take it. It's yours. Now take it. I said take it. And take it by faith. In the name of Jesus. Now, I had an example for that. Okay, look at Luke, I have to get up off of that chair.
Yes, sir.
This is the right crowd, I know it is. Look at Luke 4, all right, and verse 5 through 8.
And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine.
Now,
and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Don't let Satan give you anything. Don't let him give you anything. Here's what Abraham said. Abraham said, no, no, no. The king of Sodom said, why don't you take the goods and give the people back to me? He said, no, no, no. Lest you say, I made Abraham rich. God doesn't want anybody but him to make you rich. I said he doesn't want anybody but him to make you rich. And he can make you a millionaire in a month. Now we got to believe when God says, all things are possible to him that believes. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe it. And I'm going to, when I see this auditorium and I see this number of people in here, I know all things are possible. But the thing you can't do is you can't believe it with the head. Believe it with the what? Heart. Say believe it with the heart. That got you saved. That got you saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That was a miracle. So you got saved by a miracle. And God's word is powerful enough to do all kinds of things, to fix any system that's out here that's broke. I want you to see that. Now, I'm saying, point at those bills. Now, I know that for some of you, this sounds a little awkward. It sounds like we're going to too far. Let me tell you something. You have not gone far enough. It's time for you to get off the sideline and get in the game. It's time for you to start using your spiritual authority to take dominion over Nigeria. I'm telling you now, the world is waiting on you. God has already spoken that your name is going to be great. And it's not going to be great if you don't get in the fight. There used to be a guy named Muhammad Ali. Have you ever heard of him? Muhammad Ali, he was a boxer, right? But notice what Muhammad Ali did. He used to talk to people. You're going down in three. Now, what did that mean? On the third round, I'm going to knock you out. He could tell, he could describe, he could project, he would tell them when they were going to lose, not if they were going to lose, the exact time that they were going to lose. This is what David did. He said, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands. You know, I was working for IBM. Now, I studied all this. So as I worked for IBM, this is my last days there. I was one of the managers, and we were selling computers, and I had people that worked for me. And then, about the last day of the month, all the managers supposed to give some business to the branch manager. Well, I didn't have any. Leo didn't have any. Bill Adrian didn't have any. Because of the economic drought. But Satan is not in control.
Yes, sir.
So what happened? My sister called the last day of the month. Well, how are you doing this month, brother? I said, I'm doing just fine. You call me back at 5 o'clock today, I'll have so much business, they can't put it all on the book. Boom! And hung up. In Jesus' name. So what happened? 12 o'clock noon. My reps, the people that work for me, the salesmen start calling in. Hey, Bill, I just got an order for this. Hey, Bill, I just got a big order for this. I said, bring it on in. Bring it. Now, what did it? My mouth. You got authority you don't know nothing about. God wants you to use it. He is waiting on the manifestation, come on, of the sons of God. That's a mature offspring. It's time for you to produce. It's time for him. True enough, you've seen this wonderful facility. Now, what have you done? Can I go to your house and see one thing your faith did? I'm talking about you. See, it's easy to hide in a big place like this. But it's time out for hiding. Not only are you going to whip the devil, but you're going to tell him what round he's going down. What round he's going down. David said, this day, not next week, not at Christmas. This day, God's going to deliver you into my hand. I'm going to cut your head off, all of this, and get out the way. I'm going to feed that army to the buzzards of the air. Little boy, 16, 17 years old. What about you? So what I did, I said, you call me back at 5 o'clock. And 5 o'clock came. By 5 o'clock, I was booking business. I was booking so much business. I was booking enough business for me. I booked enough for Leo. I booked enough for Bill. I booked enough for every manager in the office. And I booked enough for my branch manager. I was filling out all of these, logging all of these orders that came in. And he came over, looked over my shoulder and said, hey, Bill, that's enough. That saves some for next month. Why did he say that? Because I said it. I said I'll have so much business, I can't put it all on the book. He had to stop me because I limited the Holy Ghost. I said, the Holy Ghost, he heard your voice. We were in Africa one time, and Brother Copeland, I remember over at Bishop Oyedepo's church, and he said, they said, set your alarm for, it was here or somewhere, set your alarm for 4:30 in the morning because we got to get up early. And Brother Copeland said this, alarm? I haven't used an alarm in 30 years. Why? His spirit heard him. His spirit is designed to follow orders. When you say that looks like at the end of the month I'm always broke, your spirit heard that. And it's going to make sure it breaks you at the end of the month. Saints of God, we got to take the authority. It's time for us now to stop being people who are last in line and letting the devil try to talk us out of what belongs to us. Let me tell you what belongs to you. The earth. Glory to God. It all belongs to you. And I'm telling you, I'm out to prove it. Your devil can't even tell you when to die. See? He can't. People get all afraid and so forth. Don't be afraid of death. Death is under your feet. I said death is under your feet. So I want to have us strong enough that if another COVID comes to town, you'll still have services right in here and don't even wink. Say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now sit down. I got just a little bit more and I'm done. Is somebody ready to go? I'm talking about to get promoted. Are you ready to get promoted? I said, are you ready to get promoted? It's time for you to have some money in your pocket. Have a money in your bank account. I'm not talking about no little money. I'm talking about some big money. Say amen to that. That money does not belong to the heathen. That money belongs to the saints. Say amen to that. We are taking back the economic system. Sit down one more time. Let me just give you this. Woo! So, I just want to tell you, now this right here, these are, turn to this. Look at 38, Job 38 and 33. Job 38, 33. I'm just about done. Job got me up on my feet.
Yes, sir. No way to down.
Oh, hold it just a minute. I'm up on my feet.
Yes.
When I get up on my feet, that means something's about to happen. I said, when I get up on my feet, something is about to happen. Woo! The faith that takes and not the faith that waits. All right, let's read that scripture again.
Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven?
What? Do you know what?
The ordinances of heaven.
Now let's look at that in Living Bible. New Living Bible. Alright? When it comes up, read it.
Do you know the laws of the universe?
Whoa!
The Can you of... use them to regulate the earth?
Saints of God, there are laws, spiritual laws, that cause things to happen. There are four laws when you fly an airplane. There's lift, brings it up. Gravity, brings it down. There's thrust, that takes it forward. And there's drag, that pushes back. Those laws were in the Garden of Eden. But they just recently, they discovered fight. So I'm saying the laws here all the time. There's laws of poverty. There's law that they'll keep you poor. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. And laws, if I jump off this stage, which way am I going? I'm going down. There are laws that take me down. So there are laws that conduct your life. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. And look at this. Ready? Read.
The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing.
Look at verse 13. Please. Go.
Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty.
What he's saying is, if you're lazy, the law is going to get you and take you down to poverty. A lazy person. There's a law of giving. You can't make me broke, because I know the law. And the law says, if I sow something, come on, I'm going to reap. Look at that, 2 Corinthians and chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians, ready, read.
But these I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Now watch this verse here.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Look at this lady. She's in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now watch this lady. She has discovered the laws that Jesus is preaching on. And ready? Read.
And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much.
Keep going.
And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing.
Come on.
And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her own did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
All her living. See, when I was about to get our first shopping mall, put it up there again, please. Our first shopping mall. And I was about to get that, I had to sew. I had to come out of my pocket, the first shopping mall, please. I had to come out of my, I didn't have to sew nothing for that. Come on, put the shopping mall up there. All right. But I didn't have to go beg for it or something. I sold the money that I was going to use to buy it. I sold. And that's what I got. Most people just don't have the courage to sow. That woman was tired of being broke. She said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to put this money in. I'm going to throw it in. She threw in two mites. She was disgusted. You don't have to stay poor. You don't have to. God's got a way that when you come into the kingdom and get saved, he can get you out of debt. Come on, get saved, he can get you out of poverty. Get saved, these are laws. There's a law of meditation. There's a law of meditation. Look at it. Look at over Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to. Ready? Read.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous.
Wait. Then what?
Thou shalt make thy way prosperous.
And what else?
And then thou shalt have good success.
Now let's look at that again. I want everybody to see this. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night. That you, now let's read this scripture, and when it comes to you, put your name in it. All right? Start at Joshua 1:8. Ready? Read.
This out of your mouth, that I shall meditate therein day and night, that I may observe to that particular one that is written.
Notice who's going to make you successful. You. God has already made you successful. Now you make your way prosperous. And you will have good success. Somebody say amen. There's a law of confession. Confess it. The woman who had the issue of blood confessed it. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She said it. I confess my business at IBM. It has the power. In other words, don't let the devil take over your tongue. You have something to say about your success. So, as we look at the last thing, I want you to look at the life of Joseph. Joseph. What did he do? He had a vision. He had a dream. Some of you have had a dream. Take your seats. Some of you have had a dream. And the dream was from God. But notice what happened with Joseph. That enemy was trying to stop that dream from coming to pass. His brothers said, let's kill him. And they tried, but they said, they changed their mind and said, let's sell him. And they sold him as a slave, going down to Egypt to some Ishmaelites. And he went down there, and then Potiphar, a captain in the Egyptian army, bought him. He bought him. And now Joseph is working for Potiphar. And as he's working for Potiphar, Potiphar is getting rich. Now, what is that? That is a picture of the Sabbath. That is a picture of the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is God's reminder that one day he was going to bring mankind back to the place where he can rest in God. That's what the Sabbath meant. And so what happened then? This Joseph was making Potiphar rich. And that's a picture of God wants you to take care of your assignment and he'll take care of your money.
Yes, sir.
That's a revelation, folks. You grab it. So what happened next? Potiphar's wife accused Joseph, and Joseph got put in jail. But notice what happened. He never got bitter. It's called the law of love. Whoever you're holding unforgiveness against, release them. This is your day of release. Because when you release them, you release yourself. Notice what God says. Mark chapter 11, 23, 24, and then 25. Let's start with 24, if you will. Ready? Read.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
If you want all I talked about to work for you, you got to forgive them. You got to forgive them, no matter who they are. Well, the white man did this to me. Give forgiven. You as a believer don't have any right to hold a man. Bible says, love those that do you wrong, so that you can be children of your Father. I came to let you know, this is the day of your release. Everything that's supposed to be your portion that God has for you, is coming to you starting tonight. So what happened? Genesis of chapter 45 and verse 1, and I'm done. Genesis 45 and verse 1 through 3. Read.
Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Though my father yet live, and his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence.
So what happened? Joseph forgave him. And forgave him. And God raised him up to be head under Pharaoh of Egypt and all the world. God has plans for you to be so great that you're going to help run the world. I'm just telling you now. I know there's some hurt in here. I wouldn't be led this way if there weren't. And I'm sorry I've gone over time. But let me tell you this. This is your day. I said this is your day. As you release others, God releases to you. So, I have $100 for you for helping me. This is your portion. Take it. No, you keep that. No, sit down. Sit down, no, Dad. I don't want it. I want you to sit down. I have plenty. Thank you. My name is Bill Winston, and I approve this message in Jesus' name. God bless you.